Well, good afternoon again, and I too wish to greet each one in Jesus' name. You know, Rodney, when you're speaking there and you talked about machines and people, it was just a reflection on me, but I kind of had this personal opinion the last number of years that machines are easy and people are hard. That's a saying that I said, and I think it does reflect on just, you know, humans are complicated, and to make a difference in people's lives is much more thoughtful than getting a big hammer and knocking a bearing out and starting up. It doesn't work that way. And so it's a blessing to be reminded of that. Reminded too, Brother Dale has said it to me this weekend, you know, what we're doing here is serious. Like, this is a serious thing. God cares about his church, about the this is the apple of his eye. He loves his church and wants it to be successful. And wants it to prosper, and we want to be part of that. I want to be faithful in fulfilling the roles, the duties that he would have for our lives. We press into that. So the assignment I have here this afternoon, this title, New, Small, and Idealistic. I think Rodney was right there when he said, you know, what we're trying to do here, it feels like there's some realism needs built in. What it's really like, what it's actually church life is like. And, you know, this title, each of these words, new, small, and idealistic, you know, they can have a very positive feel, positive spin, positive aspect, these things. And they can also carry with it, depends on how the conduct is, it can be completely the opposite. It can just, each of these can bring a significant discontent, heartache, trouble. It depend on how you one approaches it. And so as we think about this, we want to be careful. You know, I wasn't quite sure as I thought of this, what biblical passage would you turn to bring out this title? What is it? What in the Bible would you turn to? I thought of a couple, maybe beginnings. You could think of Jesus as he called his disciples that day, and he went down the list. You know, Matthew, Mark, the rest of these disciples. Surely, this was a new endeavor, and it was a small endeavor, just this little group, and very idealistic. I mean, Jesus, he had his church in mind, and he was going to do this. It was going to be good. The idealism was off the charts. This was Jesus starting his church. And yet, we know how the reality of that, and the bumps and bangs and bruises along the way as those men went on from that beginning. The passage that stood out to me is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, or 6 and 7. And this is the story of the beginning of the temple, the Solomon's dedication of the temple, and his prayer to God about this. And I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to more refer to this story, this prayer that he made. And Solomon very much wanted this effort to be a success. He wanted this building that he had built for God to come there and meet with them and interact with his people and bless them and just take people and push them forward with a blessing. That's what he wanted. He wanted to walk in God's will. God, you be involved. God, be part of this. This is a new endeavor. This is a new effort. And the idealism here was just high. Be with us, Lord, as we do this. And we see this in this prayer that he prayed. But also through this, there was some realism. You know, he talked of people that sin, verse 36, for if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies. And so he sensed that in life, People are complicated. Don't always make good choices. Don't always do the right thing. And so maybe in this picture of Solomon's prayer as he began, we get a good picture of the beginning of a church, that we would like this to be successful. We want God to be there in part and blessing. We want to have a path to correcting our mistakes and being okay, back in God's good graces, a path to doing that. As I thought about this title, I just thought, well, we could spend just a little bit of time here. I don't plan to spend too long thinking about maybe both the positive of each of these words and the negatives as it comes to church life. You know, there's something neat about a new beginning. And this is the second church a start that I'm part of, where I was very much involved, very aware. And you know, there's just some neat things about starting new. We have the opportunity to create a reputation. You have the opportunity to reach out in kind of that new and first way. Well, who are you? And all of those questions, as you're there a while, those conversations, you know, end up behind you. And I just remember some of the conversations I had early on with neighbors there when we started the church at Blue Mountain. And, you know, that's actually the second biggest Seventh-day Adventist community in the nation there in Walla Walla. And so a lot of the early interactions were with Seventh-day Adventists. And I had two different men tell me early on there, you know, Chad, you're 9/10 of a Christian. Why don't you worship on Saturday? If you could just get that together, then you'd be a Christian. And so we have the opportunity to start and build a reputation and the first initial contact with people. And we have the opportunity to form a church culture in a positive way. What will this be like? What do we stand for? What will it be? And to couple that with the high ideals, you know, let's make it worthwhile, make it a good effort. Let's raise the bar and be something that God can bless and feel good about. You know, in a small church, we have opportunities as well. We have opportunities for real closeness and friendship in a small community. And I've heard, you know, I've been in both a small church and big church, but there's something about a small church that you really can develop close friendships, people that you really know and can, and they know you, and you can share your secrets and trust to watch your children, and you know, there can be just that closeness, which is, it's really nice. And you have a better opportunity maybe in a small church. Often I have heard people lament, you know, well, when the church I was part of was small, it was so much different. It was so much more that way, that friendship, close way. And so we have that opportunity. And with that comes the opportunity for closeness in unity and cohesion. That's a very real possibility. And maybe more real in a small church than it is in a big one. I'm not at all running down a big church. I'm just saying, new, small, idealistic, we have that opportunity to have close unity and cohesion. You know, the more people in any endeavor there are that you try to get onto the same page, the harder and more complicated it is. People just don't think the same. Another thing that you have, a positive thing, I think, is you have the opportunity to respond quickly and with unity to something that comes up. You can meet needs maybe quicker. You have an easy access to decisions that people can get behind and approach with unity. That can happen faster. In a small church, I think we have an opportunity to contribute in meaningful ways. Not everybody that's in a big church has that. It is pretty easy to be in a big church where, you know, your turn to have a devotional or share a children's meeting, or, you know, that comes around once a year or a long time. Well, that's not the case here. in a small church, you know, you just decide who's swapping what, kind of. It's about all you can do. But you know, it is good for us. It's been good for my boys. I could say that just to be here. You know what? Go up and say something that matters. You know, put some thought and intentionality into it. So that is good for us. It's a good thing. I believe it is that we have this opportunity to contribute in meaningful ways. And what if you didn't have that opportunity? What if you were just one of the number and you weren't able ever to exercise that? Are you just taken for granted? I don't matter. My contribution is not there. It's just not valuable. You know, that comes with it a certain amount of you know, I don't really matter. They don't care. Nothing I can do to help. Nothing I can do to push forward. And so I think with a small church, we have that blessing, the benefit. You know, and another thing I thought about, and especially as I consider what the group that is coming together here or working towards that, we have the special opportunity to be blessed by a community of faith on a broader scale. Our little grandson was born a couple of weeks ago, and oh my gosh, that little baby, right? And he needs lots of help. And it was pretty soon his grandma was there helping, and his other grandma was there, and aunts and some of the uncles. And I heard his grandma telling some of the uncles last night that, you know, don't fight over this little guy. That conversation happened in my kitchen last night. And why do I bring that up? You know, we have an opportunity here for people to come together and love this little baby in Medford, if you will, this little church. And I value that. I value the contribution of others that have come here, showed interest and concern, and wanted to help this little thing move forward. I'm deeply appreciative of that. And so if we can bring our people to this effort, each of us, the people that care about our lives, that are concerned about us, that want us to be successful, if each of us can bring two or three or four or five to the conversation, to the meeting, to visit once in a while, you know, that lends a real stability of forward momentum, because the people care about us. So I would encourage us to that end, that we can experience a blessing and the shared wisdom of the people that are on our side looking out for us. We have an opportunity here to reestablish or confirm some Christian values and practices that are important. At the beginning, we can set that out and again try to hold up the things and strengthen the things that remain. And the last one here, we have an opportunity to, in a more focused way, benefit from the wisdom, the gifting, the experiences, and the talents of others. To face life situation with a group that has other experiences than mine. You know, my older brother, Trevor, and I, so I'm 47 and he's 3 years older than I, as I go back through my life with him, there's a lot of shared experience, right? There's just a lot of things that him and I have done together and have experienced together and been partners in and have worked on. And often, I think it's fair to say, often I end up finding myself translating for him. So he'll say something the way he is in a group or in a Sunday school discussion, and maybe somebody will take him wrong or not really understand him or kind of push back. And I knew what he meant. And it wasn't what they heard. And so I feel like I can step in and say, you know, well, what he was really trying to say was, you know, but I don't share that with Caleb. You know, there's not much back there, is it? And so, or Timo or Nate or even Lamar, Bradley, the others that are coming, you know, that some of these people, there's not much shared experience there, that we all are leaning on the same thing, same decisions, same experiences, kind of come out of the same place. But somebody else might have an answer. Well, you know what? One time I was in so and so, and can develop an experience that is meaningful to the conversation moving forward that I know nothing about. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I don't know what had happened. That's what I mean with we get the benefit of sharing the gifting, wisdom, experiences, and talents of others. And so I'm looking forward to that here in this setting. Switching now to kind of the other side of new, small, and idealistic. You know, there's a side to this. Well, this is new. And well, you know, with newness comes, well, what are the boundaries? What are the options here? I don't know. You know, if I was if you've ever bought a new car for you, or maybe I could ask, or maybe I shouldn't ask, just ask you men to tell me how fast does your car go? How fast does your car go? If you can tell me, that means you tried. And you kind of have an understanding of how far around it'll actually go. Is this a little bit of an example? Maybe you sense that that's a negative, right? You could see here we are. No, well, what is that saying about the city that's far away and, you know, over the hill? I can't bring it back right now, but the idea is who's to tell us? Who's to show you what to do? That independent spirit that's been talked about already. Now, I suppose that negative thing could be here. We're gonna see how fast the car can actually go before we get in a wreck. And so be mine. For us to be mindful of that we're not out here on our own, and the boundaries are here, and we need to be careful. And there's it is brought out about gonna do my life my way. I'm gonna be independent. I'm the captain of my ship and the guardian of my own soul. So that's a negative thing that's possible. And you know, looking back in my church experience, maybe even, shall I say, probable. I mean, it's something to be guarded against. I think it's pretty real. You know, another problem maybe with new, small, and idealistic, it is very possible for big personalities to dominate. You know, somebody with it's fast of thought, articulate, easy to say, and share his opinion in a quick and powerful way. It is really easy for that to dominate a brothers' meeting or a setting, especially a new setting. It's something to be guarded against. You know, some of the real contributions in my life come from very quiet people that, you know, even though maybe I could argue better than me, they weren't going to interact with that. I'm not going to enter in, and yet that's powerful, quiet wisdom to share with the situation. And so I think that's something to remember, that it's easy for big personalities to dominate a situation, a small situation especially. Another thing that it is possible for closeness and fellowship and the same people to lead to little things causing big problems. You know, little things don't dilute quite so easily in a small setting. You can't spread out the problems and the irritations. And so I think it's just something to think about, to be respectful of, especially maybe thoughtful and preemptive about. In a small setting, I think it's possible to easily get under each other's skin. I think it's also possible for us to show up to a small setting with the intention, I'm going to put my stamp on the world. This is going to be how I'd like to see this, and intentionally set out to turn it into something that is in the image of me instead of the image of Christ and following his spirit. I think it's just a, when you don't have a history of how and this culture in the local setting has worked forward, it is easy to try to, okay, we're going to direct this somewhere that in my own image. This has been emphasized already, but this is it is really easy for this to become my project instead of God's project, my church instead of God's church. Now, I think that is there is something really, really freeing about turning it over to God and say, God, it's your church. It's just yours. Make it what it ought to be. I think too, and this maybe not just in small settings, I think it is possible to be misunderstood by others, by people looking on. What's happening here? We do well to communicate clearly and to live with openness. Another thing I think about, and I think about the challenges we face. Special challenge without a big group and a lot of people to lean on. It's easy to be fearful. God, will you be there for me? Will you provide what I need by way of fellowship and interaction and finances and all of the challenges that we face in life? Fearful of the future. This can look really big. Especially to some personalities, the starting over and all of those just the realities. Starting over is hard work. It's another one. It's just plain old. It's just a lot of work. It just is. But I think especially for some personalities, it is especially difficult to think of the future, a future without a lot of knowns. I've thought already that, you know, that's probably why the Western United States feels more liberal than a lot of the East, at least. Maybe it's genetic. All those people that were willing to go die on the Oregon Trail and were pretty haphazard and adventurous, well, they went. And now it's their posterior out west. And anybody that was kind of cautious and, you know, I'm just going to stay here in Missouri or Ohio or somewhere, well, they stayed. So I don't know if that's, we're genetically predispositioned to liberalness in the Western United States. I don't know. But on a more serious note, I think the point is some people, it just is more fearful, and that's okay. It is just that way, and those of us that are more adventurous need to be especially watchful for that. And in that case, I had to think about our self-perception matters tremendously. I thought about the story of David and Goliath there, and he came from his sheep, and he's out. He's finally out there, and he's going out with his brothers. And this giant come out on the other side of this big canyon, and he's saying a lot of stuff and saying a lot of stuff against the people of God. And David just wasn't out. How can we put up with this guy saying those things about God and his people? He wanted to do something about this. Going to do something to make a difference. And so I think we do well to remember that with God on our side, God behind it, there's a lot of giants that can be faced, and that's a decision of faith that I need to make that have not always been there. Well, here in closing, I thought a little bit about what does success look like? What would we say as we thought about this new, small, and idealistic church starting out? What would success look like? How would you know that, okay, it worked? You say, is it going to work? Well, Rodney, when do I know, did it work? When can we know? And so I was thinking about that a little bit, honoring that the last things, you know. Well, maybe we could ask ourselves, or everyone could ask, is it successful in my church? Is it working where I'm at now? Is it working? There's things that you could point to. You could say, well, maybe if we had a nice church building and we had a functioning school and we had somewhere to send the children to school and school teachers and a church building that was coherent and we didn't have to pack out of every day. Or maybe it would be when I had a nice youth group for my children. Would that be, okay, now we've finally gotten there. Would that be it? Would that be the milestone that we could look to? And as I thought about that, you know, we could do those things. We could do the structure. We could do the machine without God. We really could. We could do that. It is, and some of you weren't here, but I've thought about the Jewish faith, the Hebrews that went on from Christ, the Messiah, coming to earth, and even to this day, they are building on with that Orthodox Jewish model. And you must conclude without God. They are doing it under the power of men, just grinding that thing forward. Well, certainly that would be a travesty if that's all we got done was a structure. All we got done was a people who could produce rote Christianity with no life. It'd be a travesty. You know, and so I thought about the product. That's what was interests me. What's the product of this endeavor, this church that we are trying to build? You know, if the product is nothing but conservative Christian Protestant libertarians, if that's all that's coming off the other end, well, we just will stop now. Let's just back up and go down to a church that's already here. That's all we're going to do is produce that. And on the other side, if all we do is preserve a culture, if that's our self-impression, that's all we're doing is preserving a culture, something that we can appreciate and is worth appreciation, I think we have just missed it wildly. And so I have a few verses here that I would like to read at the end and just point out some pieces in there that I feel like would be something that we could look to this. If we could do this, this would be success. In Luke 7:22, this is the message to Jesus sent back to John the Baptist. He said, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go your way and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached.'" You know, if that can be said about our church, that this is what happens over there, that looks like success. That looks like walking in the path of Jesus. Another one I thought of was in Titus 2, verse 14, just breaking in here. It says, "Who gave himself for us," talking about Christ, "that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." If the product that would come off of this endeavor would be a peculiar people that are zealous of good works, that would be a worthy milestone of success. Isaiah 66, verse 2, "For all things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." If this endeavor could produce a people, a young people, a neighborhood of men and women that tremble at the word of God, that were just really concerned what God thought about this thing, that would be a success. If we could do that, we could get to there. And then the last one I have here is in Colossians 4:12. Again, breaking in, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand," this is it, "perfect and complete in the will of God." And again, if we could produce a people, if the product coming off of the conveyor belt of our existence, one after another, was a men and women that were serious about being in the will of God. Whatever that was, you know, that might be a little church somewhere. That might be a mission endeavor somewhere. That might be school teaching somewhere. That might be here in Medford, Oregon. But am I walking in the will of God for my life? That'd be a powerful testimony of success in this new small and idealistic endeavor. Thank you for your attention to that. More, let's have a song.